All glories to the Son of God. All glories to the Son of God. All glories to the Son of God. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, Text Number 4. So please repeat. Kasmin yuge pravriteyam. Which one have you got? Oh, that's some three. Sorry. Okay. Good start. Okay. Tasya putra mahayogi. Samadrinivikalpaka. Ekanta matir unidro.
Ekanta matir unidro.
Udo muda iviyate. Tasya putra mahayogi.
Tasya putra mahayogi.
Samadrinivikalpaka.
Ekanta matir nidro.
Guru muda iveyate. Tasya putra mahayogi.
Tasya putra mahayogi.
Samadrinivikalpaka.
Ekanta matir
nidro.
Buddha muda iveyate.
Tasya putra mahayogi.
Tasya putra mahayogi.
Samadrinivikalpaka. Ekanta matunidro.
Ekanta matunidro.
Buddha muda iveyate.
Buddha muda iveyate.
Tasya putra mahayogi.
Tasya putra mahayogi.
Samadrinivikalpaka.
Samadrinivikalpaka.
Ekanta matunidro.
Ekanta matunidro.
Tasya,
his
putra,
son,
Mahayogi,
great devotee,
Samadrik,
equibalance,
Nivikalpaka, absolute monist, Ekantamati.
Ekantamati.
Fixed in monism or oneness of mind.
Fixed in monism or oneness of
mind.
Unidra.
Surpassed nations.
Surpassed
nations. Gudha. Not exposed. Mudha. Situate. Stunted. Sorry. Stunted. Eva,
light,
Iyate, appears like. Translation. His, Vyasadeva's son, was a great devotee, an equibalanced monist. His mind was always concentrated in monism. He was transcendental to mundane activities, but being unexposed, he appeared like an ignorant person. Please repeat. His, Vyasadeva's son,
was a great devotee,
an equibalanced monist, whose mind was always concentrated in monism.
He was transcendental to mundane
activities,
but being unexposed,
he appeared like an ignorant person. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul, and thus he remained always alert not to be trapped by the illusory energy. In the Bhagavad Gita, this alertness is very lucidly explained. The liberated soul and the conditioned soul have different engagements. The liberated soul is always engaged in the progressive path of spiritual attainment, which is something like a dream for the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul cannot imagine the actual engagements of the liberated soul. While the conditioned soul thus dreams about spiritual engagements, the liberated soul is awake. Similarly, the engagement of the conditioned soul appears to be a dream for the liberated soul. A conditioned soul and a liberated soul may apparently be on the same platform, but factually they are differently engaged and their attention is always alert, either in sense enjoyment or in self-realization. The conditioned soul is absorbed in matter, whereas the liberated soul is completely indifferent to matter. This indifference is explained as follows. End of purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om agyana sumandasya gananana shlakaya chakshuramanitamyena tasmaya shri gurudeva. Shri Chaitanya Manobhastam, Stapatanyan Bhutale, Swayam Upakrama, and Dadasi, Swapatan to come. So in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada talks about the difference between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. A liberated soul is somebody who is liberated from the attraction to material enjoyment. And a liberated soul, a conditioned soul is somebody who is absorbed in material enjoyment, material desires, material goals. So we're trying to become liberated souls, because when you're a conditioned soul and you're controlled by material desires and you're hankering for enjoyment that's temporary, then you have to suffer because you're under the law of karma. And karma is the fact that everybody gets reactions for everything they do. In the Bible, if you read the Bible, it says, as you sow, so shall you reap. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So when I meet Christians, I often say to them, well, you believe God is good, he's kind, he controls everything, so why why does he allow a baby to be born starving and blind? And they never have an answer. They try to say that, oh, it's because of Adam and Eve or something. It's because of what they did that the baby has to suffer. Or they say, you know, it's something the forefathers did or the parents did, so the innocent baby has to suffer for something they did. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So, you know, of course, we believe in reincarnation, and we believe that, you know, according to one's activities, one gets a particular type of body in the next life.
this is quite logical. Prabhupada gave the example of how everything goes in cycles. How, you know, you have the spring, the summer, the fall, the winter, and then it comes to spring again. Everybody knows, you know, the summer's going to be hot, the spring is going to be flowers, and the winter's going to be cold. Everybody knows that. And then you have, you know, in the morning, you have the sun comes up, and then it's midday, it's afternoon, it's nighttime. And the next day, you know, the sun's going to come up at exactly the same time. You can predict it. So everything goes in cycles. So you're born, you get a little bit older, you reach middle age, you grow old and you die. And then you're born again. So that's how it works. And Krishna says, Dehino Smanyatai Dehe Kamaram Yovanam Jaratita Dehantara Prapta Diras Tatra Namuyate. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. A self-realized person is not bewildered by such a change. So a self-realized person is not afraid to die because a self-realized person knows that we don't actually die, and for a devotee or somebody who's leading a pious life or God-conscious life, then they're guaranteed to actually get a better body or a spiritual body. At least they won't go into a lower form of life. Of course, nowadays, you know, atheism is very common because, unfortunately, you can blame the British as much as anybody else. All the big atheistic scientists are British. Charles Darwin was British. But there was one British scientist who was very clever. You know what his name was? He actually totally believed in intelligent design. And his name was Isaac Newton. And when Einstein was asked who was the most intelligent person who he ever knew, he said, this is Einstein, we know he's kind of intelligent, recognized as a genius. He said this, he's talking about Isaac Newton. He was not only an inventor of genius in respect to particular guiding methods, he also showed a unique mastery of the empirical material known in his time. And he was marvelously inventive in special mathematical and physical demonstrations. For all these reasons, he deserves our deep veneration. He is, however, a yet more significant figure than his own mastery makes him, since he was placed by fate at a turning point in the world's intellectual development. Anyway, so now we can hear what Isaac Newton said, because he was very smart. He said, as a blind man has no idea of colors, so we have no idea of the manner by which the all-wise God perceives and understands all things. This most beautiful system of the sun, planets and comets could only proceed from the counsel and dominion of an intelligent and powerful being. The wonderful arrangement and harmony of the cosmos would only originate in the plan of an almighty omniscient being. This is and remains my greatest comprehension. All my discoveries have been made in answer to prayer. A heavenly master governs all the world as sovereign of the universe. We are astonished at him by reason of his perfection. We honor him and fall down before him because of his unlimited power. From blind physical necessity, which is always and everywhere the same, no variety adhering to time and place could evolve. And all variety of created objects, which represent order and life in the universe, could happen only by the willful reasoning of its original creator, whom I call the Lord God. In the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. So, versatile. If you milk cows, you know, because I milk cows every day. So it's amazing how when you're milking the cow, you can, if you get tired of milking a particular way, then you use your fingers in a different way. And there's a few different ways you can do it. It's clever. I know not how I seem to others, but to myself, This proves he was really intelligent. I am but a small child wandering upon the vast shores of knowledge, every now and then finding a small bright pebble to content myself with, while the vast ocean of undiscovered truth lay beyond me. Atheism is so senseless. When I look at the solar system, I see the Earth at the right distance from the sun to receive the proper amount of heat and light. This did not happen by chance. So you know, Isaac Newton, I was listening to one program about him. It said that he's recognized from all the biggest authorities from Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, that he's the most intelligent scientist in the last 400 or 500 years. So, but you know, we're contending with a very atheistic culture, and this is somewhat due to the false religion that has been propounded. We hear about the Spanish Inquisition, and if we go to different museums, we see many instruments of torture that were used by the Spanish. They have the rack. Everyone know what the rack is? The rack. They tie your legs at one end, and they tie your arms at the other end, and they have a winch which separates your legs from your hands, and like that. It's called the rack. Anyway, but the point is that people were very skeptical about religion. And then Darwin's theory came along, because people had seen the holy wars in the Middle East. You know, the British, Richard the Lionheart, he was fighting Saladin to, you know, get Mecca. So, you know, people turned away from religion. So, as I said before in class here, the greatest buildings, practically all of the nicest buildings in the world, are actually churches or temples. You know, I went to one church, Durham Cathedral. It's in the north of England. You've probably been there. It's an amazing building. Took about 50 years to build, all beautiful carved stone. They actually had a lot of devotion. French, you know, Notre Dame got burnt by fire a couple of years ago. Immediately, people came forward with, you know, $500 million to fix it. But anyway, we do believe in God. And practically everybody did believe in God back in the day. There were books, like this one author. The point of what I'm saying is that, you know, nowadays people, there's liberated souls and there's conditioned souls, but people are conditioned because they don't live for their spirit, they live for their body, but they've been misled because the modern society is very secular and atheistic. They don't have a class in school. It is where you learn specifically from people who can teach you about God. It's all academic studies. It's not from people who really believe what they're teaching. So anyway, we believe, you know, in the Vedas. Krishna says, Vedas chasavaraham avidyavidyantakrutvidyavacham, by all the Vedas I am to be known. So we believe in the Vedas, but there's other scriptures and there's other books which also have a glimpse of reality and truth. For instance, you see, the conditioned souls, they're all engaged in materialist activities, which bring them bad results, bad karma. And so, of course, we don't really speak much about hell. But there is such a place. Now, that was another reason why people became atheists, because they were told that hell is eternal. And they couldn't understand why God would create people and send them to hell eternally. So, you know, that's how they would scare people into believing in God. And I was reading about this one writer, Dante. Anyone read Dante? Dante. There's a description of hell in there, and it's quite similar to what the Vedas say. The Vedas, you know, they give a clear description of all the different hellish planets, and it's quite similar in some ways, because we don't believe in eternal hell, we only believe in temporary hell. It's, from what I understand, you only go to hell for a short period, but it seems like a long time because it's very difficult. So we see that all the conditioned souls, they're enjoying different activities that will bring them a bad result. It will bring them bad karma. And because we know that, you know, on this planet, about 70 billion animals are killed every year. That will bring so much bad karma. So we try to advise people, you know, try to be vegetarian. Although even being vegetarian isn't quite enough. Ultimately, you have to offer your food to Krishna. So, so we should feel sorry for people, because people in a very, you know, we don't talk about hell a lot, but we need to read the descriptions of hell. And the reason why people go to hell, because most people don't have a bright future. And we may not, I don't necessarily think these people, I don't think about it that much, but when you do think about it, you know, there's a lot of bad things going on. And a lot of people are going to get some bad reactions. So therefore, devotees have to be very compassionate. This is one of the attributes of a devotee, that we have to try to help others, because others, they're in a very difficult situation. They're not happy now, although they may think they're happy. They've got their new nice truck or whatever. Make more money, get a pay rise, but ultimately we know these things won't really make them happy. They're not really happy. They have a lot of anxieties here and there, but also the future is very dark. So we have to take lessons from the the Srimad Bhagavatam, where it talks about Dadichi. Dadichi was a great devotee, and he gave up his body because he was asked by the demigods, by Indra, that if you give your body up to us, we can create a weapon to kill Vritrasura. So they asked him for his body. And to begin with, he joked around a little bit. He said, why would I want to give up my body? Everybody's attached to their body. And, you know, he said, if somebody is a beggar and they go to approach somebody for something, you know, the person they approach doesn't know the pain of the beggar, and the beggar doesn't know, you know, how it's not easy for people to give things to people. People are attached to what they own. So then, but he agrees finally. And he says very nice, these are very good verses. Yodruvanatmananata nadamam nasho kuman. He says, ihetabhutadaya sasocha stavarerapi. That one who feels no compassion for humanity in its suffering is certainly pitied even by immovable living beings. If one is happy to see, and the next verse, if one is, says, Etavana Vyodama Nabama Punishloka Viparita. If one is unhappy to see the unhappiness of others and happy to see their happiness, his religious principles are considered to be imperishable by people who are learned and wise. So this is the teachings in the Srimad Bhagavatam that, you know, we don't have to give up our body exactly, but we should try to give up desire for sense gratification, and we should try to think of all these different sufferings people have to go through. I was going to read a chapter about the hellish planet, but we had some guests I didn't do, but I think they left anyway. I don't know why. I don't know if it was too heavy, but you know, what can you do? This is our philosophy. We believe in hell, but it's temporary. So, you know, we have this example that devotees can really help people. I was reading this book by Swami about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, and he was saying that even if you're a Christian or a Muslim, it's no benefit. The only thing that's beneficial is when you actually engage in Krishna consciousness, because these faiths, they're all not really real religion. They're just faiths. You can change from being a Christian to a Muslim. Like I meet on the campus, you know, I had some Christians. They were nice enough. They were actually for Christians. They were pretty nice. They asked nice questions. I don't mean to put down Christians, but, you know, they are the most open people, to put it like that. But these Christians, they were nice, and they were sort of interested in what I had to say, but they just couldn't understand how you shouldn't eat meat. They just could not, and they never can, hardly ever. They just can't do it. So, you know, that's why, you know, unless somebody follows the process of Krishna consciousness, it's very hard to make any spiritual progress. So we have a wonderful philosophy, and you know, we need to share it with others, because people, they don't really have any hope. And you know, so we need to make ISKCON strong, whether you're a teacher in the school, you're teaching the kids to be devotees, or to go out and preach, or we're mothers, you know, raising our children, or we're cleaning the temple. But we have to remember that ISKCON is such an important movement, because there's no other movement or society which has all the answers that ISKCON has. And there are just so few of us, unfortunately, in the whole world. Many people don't know about Krishna. But you meet nice people. Like I met this boy yesterday. There was a bunch of kids from Newbury. You know, Newbury is kind of a redneck place. You know what I mean? And they were in the high school, and they were like, the one boy, he was 18, and I couldn't stop anybody. You know, sometimes you can't stop people. It doesn't really bother me. But he, you know, he saw that, and he felt sorry for me. And he came up to me, and he, you know, he wanted to know what I was doing. So, I showed him the book. He's a simple guy. And he bought the Bhagavad Gita. Just a high school kid from Newbury. Pretty amazing, really. So I said, oh, you should try to be a vegetarian. He said, oh, I am a vegetarian. So there's all kinds of people out there. And, you know, we have to go out and give out this knowledge, because people are so, like, misled. They just don't know what's going on. They have no idea. These hellish planets exist. You know, Jiva Goswami, he confirms it. In one of the purports, Prabhupada says, the animalistic person who lives simply in the bodily concept of life is not excused. He's put into the hell known as Maharorva and attacked by Ruru animals called Kavyadas. So it's not pleasant. The killer of a Brahmin. They had this one, Lady Halidini. You know about Halidini? She was killed by this guy in Monrovia. He was a demoniac person. And they were preaching there. I think that's the name of the country, Monrovia. I'm not sure, but I think it was. Anyway, they were preaching there. And she was married to, what's his name? Mahananda, yeah. She was like a renunciate. She went to preach there. And, you know, they were, this guy, Taylor, called himself Prince Taylor or something. He was a rebel leader who ran the country, took over the country. And, you know, there was a group of devotees there. Most of them were black devotees. She was the only white lady. And he was going to kill them. And so she protested. She ran up to him and she said, "You can't kill him. You can't kill them." So he shot her. So this is, you know, what happens to a Brahmin, somebody who kills a Brahmin. This is what Kula Sutra, killer of Brahmin, 80,000 miles circumference made of copper, heated from below by fire and above by the scorching sun. And you put on this copper contraption. I mean, it's just, oh, it's rough. I mean, they're already suffering so much already. Material lives full of anxiety. And then they have to go through this. It's a bad deal. Anyway, so, you know, we have the knowledge to help them. We have to try to help them. Because, anyway, any questions, comments, reflections? Yes.
A couple of things came to mind. One was that I remember reading about Didichi Muni, that when he left, he didn't know when he left his physical body and took his spiritual body. He didn't even know.
Right.
He was so properly situated in transcendence. Yeah. I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
And then I know that Prabhupada's talked about other religions and even called Christians, like, you know, probably all different grades, but 10th class devotees. So I never heard that, you know, because some of them, like in Catholicism, let's say they're chanting the names of God, you know, they have a prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Mm-hmm. So it seems like there's some, that would be considered some kind of devotional service, right? When they're chanting God's name, because we even say that Krishna has hundreds and millions of names.
Right.
So that was a little confusing to me that,
well, so ISIS.
What?
You know, ISIS.
Yeah.
The terrorist group.
Yeah.
They believe in God too.
I'm just saying what Prabhupada said, that he
I'm
actually.
Saying
yeah.
That a lot of those popes, you know, they were very evil people, but they were also so-called religious. So, you know, it's not that simple. You have to follow religious principles. You can't be a hypocrite and say you're religious, but not follow religious principles.
Of course.
So religious principles mean you have to be compassionate. You have to be sympathetic to people suffering.
But there are people that, you know, in other religions.
There's a few.
There are people in other religions who do follow principles.
Yeah, there's a few.
Who do, you know. And those are the people, because, you know, it's like pious activities. People perform pious activities. That gives an opportunity oftentimes to come, just like the boy that you met.
Yeah.
You know, he's already vegetarian. He already had something going, and then Krishna arranged for you to meet him and give him a book.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
So it does seem like, you know, there's something happening.
But from my experience, you know, honestly speaking, going out practically every day on books, I'm meeting a lot of Christians. I find them much more closed-minded than atheists or, you know, agnostics. They're just really, they're so rooted in the concept that they're going to heaven and everyone else is going to hell. You know, it's just my experience.
Right. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that...
Yeah, there's a few nice ones. Like
we can't eliminate everybody, the rest of the population, that they don't have any sense of God, or they don't do anything in the service of God, because there are people that do that, and then Krishna brings them to Krishna consciousness.
There are some. True.
I have two little stories to tell. I have two little stories to tell. One is one experience I went when I went preaching, because on Wednesday I go to Santa Fe University.
Okay.
And when I take my lunch, I always sit with somebody to try to talk. And there was this nice gentleman, his name was Parker. So I said, oh, like the hero, Spider-Man, you know? And I said, then that means maybe you have a mission, you know, to accomplish in this world, to save humanity. So he said, I come here every day and I eat this wonderful food and I really want to become a vegetarian. And then we talked about what is the best, you know, way to save the world. And the discussion went on very, very nice. So I think he's going to become a devotee just eating prasad every day. That's my first story. My second story is about, I don't remember if it's Newton or Einstein, but one of these had made a mini model, a sketch, you know, of the universe with... some cardboards and you know, that's Newton? Okay, so, and somebody came to visit him and he showed him his idea of how the planetary system was going on.
Oh, you're talking about Newton,
Newton?
Yeah,
and
yeah, that's Newton.
And the guy said, who made this?
Yeah.
And he said, nobody. He said, how is that possible? Well, he said, you know, you think that this whole universe nobody made. So how come you can't even figure out that this little sketch is made by nobody?
Yeah, that's it.
So he said, that's the proof there is God in this universe.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Okay.
I'm a little confused about death, because at the beginning you said the devotee is not afraid of death, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Prabhupada in so many places, he says everybody is fearful of death. Nobody wants to die. Everybody is fearful of death,
yeah,
and
right.
That nobody wants to die.
Right.
So I'm a little confused.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm not saying I'm not afraid of death, but you're not supposed to be afraid of death.
Yeah.
Because it says, you see, that if you're afraid of death, that all your chanting and all your study of the scriptures is a waste of time.
Yeah, but our test comes at death, doesn't it? You know, I personally have always thought that I'm not afraid to die, but then I keep reading Prabhupada says everybody's afraid to die. So, you know, then that's a little bit confusing.
Well, we have to try not to be afraid. We have to have faith in Krishna. Krishna's going to help us.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. He's definitely going to help us. There's no doubt about it.
And you were talking about when you were discussing with these Christians and they seem very closed-minded.
Yeah.
So earlier in the first canto, in the chapter, the Bhagavatam is talking about Lord Buddha. Mm-hmm. In the purport, Prabhupada says that meat eating is damaging to the psychology. Mm-hmm. So, if analyzing that, we can see if we, children are not naturally kind of wanting to hurt animals, and but they're brought up to eat meat, and mm-hmm. they don't usually know what's going on until it's already too late. They're conditioned to accept the killing of animals so that they can eat, them.
Mm-hmm.
So the person has to be in a tremendous amount of denial as to what's really going on in order to eat meat. And so that is the blockage, it seems, that you're coming up against when you're talking to a Christian.
Yeah.
And why Prabhupada always came, whenever he was talking to Christians, he'd always emphasize that, Jesus says, thou shalt not kill, so why are you eating meat? But they can't, they're kind of stuck in it. But then Mataji, then she was talking about the Christian taking prasadam. So that seems to be the answer to the question I was going to ask,
yeah.
was, how do you overcome that?
Mm-hmm.
But that, I guess that would be the way, right?
Yeah, if they'll take it. when the Jehovah's Witnesses are out there, they never take prasadam. But the Jehovah's Witness, the Mormons take prasadam. They'll always, if you offer 5 cookies, they'll take them all. They're more pious, I think. But they're also open-minded because they believe Jesus came to America. They don't explain how he got here, but how do you just kind of... They've got to be open-minded somewhat to believe that.
I find it a very easy and simple way to defeat the Muslims and the Christians is, I would say that these are kindergarten religions.
Right.
They don't know about its soul, they don't know about karma, they don't know details about God, So when you put it this way, it has great effect because people are seeing. You're not denying their existence, their existence. But by calling them kindergarten religion, it means they have some religiosity, but it's not much.
But we're not just trying to defeat them; we want to change their minds.
Yeah.
It's easy to defeat them, but to actually get them to believe what you're saying is a different story. Yes, Guru?
Well, it's easy to, like, when someone doesn't agree with you, it's easy to say they're closed-minded. So how do we, sometimes people say certain kinds of devotees are closed-minded, so how do we,
if as far as eating meat, if you say, do you think God wants you to be healthy? They say yes. Do you think we should try to help the planet because, the meat industry is the biggest cause of global warming? Do you think we should try to save money because vegetarian diet's cheaper? Do you think it's right to kill an innocent creature? They say, no, it's not right. So it's not, you have to be pretty closed-minded if you can't agree with any of these things. I mean, at least you could agree, even if you're habituated to eating meat, you could agree because this is all logical. It's not my opinion. It's just logic and reason. Nothing to do with
there's a logic to it.
Huh?
There's a logic to it.
Yeah, there's a logic to it.
There's nothing conclusive about logic and reason.
Anyway, maybe not to you.
According to Prabhupada, according to the Vedas, punditry, there's no conclusion. You can always create another counter-argument.
All right.
This is our tradition as well.
Anyone else?
It's through bhakti that you get the conclusion.
But we have logic and reason. Well, that's why Jiva Goswami wrote the Sandarbhas. Of course we have logic and reason. You can't believe in something that's completely illogical.
It's not about belief either. Prabhupada said that as well. It's about realization.
Anyway, we have a different opinion about that.
Well,
there has to be some logic and reason.
No, engage logic and reason. Engage it.
Anyway. Any Anything else, anybody? Anyway.
Point is, should be noted too that we do indeed have some close-minded devotees. We cannot deny that really. But at the same time, they're far superior to the Christians and the Muslims with their realization and everything. But yet they have to learn to become more open-minded and hear from more realized souls.
All right, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.